Thank you, Mr. Chair. And once again, as in our general statement, I'd like to thank you for producing the rolling text, which is going to be a very important basis for our discussions this week. Taking on to this first section, overall, the text on the characterisation of laws is useful because this group does need to be in agreement on the characterisation of laws so that we can set out the parameters of our discussions and in the context of our mandate, the scope of its final instrument. However, we do need to get the characterisation right so that we do not inadvertently exclude systems that we would wish to include or include those that we would wish to exclude. Therefore, any characterisation should not make any reference to what is or should be subject to prohibition or regulation. So turning to the first paragraph, it is not clear to us how the without prejudice text wording is designed to operate in respect to the subsequent wording that contains the characterisation. The UK would hope that its inclusion is intended to address the points that I've just made on characterisation and the two-tier approach on prohibition and regulation. Consequently, we believe that it would be useful to include a chapeau to any agreed language on characterisation, which notes that the purpose of the characterisation is to simply outline the type of system that the GGE's final agreed set of measures are designed to apply to. Turning to the second paragraph, we find this paragraph problematic. Like other delegations, the UK recognises the importance of addressing the issue of nominal control and the need to ensure that a system is not excluded by virtue of such nominal involvement. The UK also welcomes the inclusion and recognition of the UK's concept of context-appropriate human involvement and notions of judgment. The UK expects that we will come back to these questions, including what context-appropriate means, when we speak about potential measures to address the issues raised by autonomous weapon systems. That said, the current framing of this paragraph undermines the way in which many states, the UK included, understand the concept of context-appropriate human involvement. It is certainly not the case that weapon systems that only require nominal human input after activation cannot operate with context-appropriate human involvement and judgment. Depending on the context of use and the nature of the autonomous functions of the weapon system, appropriate human involvement can be applied at other stages of the system's life cycle, not just when in use or post-activation. Examples include development, test and acceptance of the system, and via decisions made by commanders to deploy a particular system in a theatre operation and use it in a particular situation. Prior to use controls can also be applied through the bounding of autonomous behaviours and placing geographic and temporal limits. Whilst it is true that autonomous weapon systems can include systems that can operate without intervention or with only nominal intervention post-activation, the same weapon may be able to be used with various levels of autonomy. Therefore, any agreed characterisation should not equate the ability to operate without intervention or with only nominal intervention as the sole operating model for these systems. Lastly, context-appropriate human involvement and human judgment are required for the operation of all weapon systems in accordance with international law, including autonomous systems. Therefore, it would not be appropriate to apply this concept solely to the definition of autonomous weapon systems. The UK would therefore suggest that the concept of context-appropriate human involvement and judgment is moved to later in the text under other measures. Moving to the third paragraph, the UK recognises the practice of including exemptions or clarifications of the scope of an instrument in instruments or in protocols, the CCW and other disarmament instruments. Therefore, in principle, the UK regards this as a helpful inclusion. However, of particular importance here is the question of scope in relation to decision support systems, and this underlines the importance of wider work on responsible use of AI in the military domain. Nevertheless, we need to ensure that the work of the GGE is focused on weapons. Much expertise already exists in defining weapon systems, and with a view to exploiting that, the UK would suggest that the GGE focuses on equipment or systems that are used or intended or designed to be used to cause injury or damage, rather than wider systems which inform the use of weapons but which remain separate to the actual application of force. The UK agrees that the focus of the GGE is autonomous systems, not other systems, such as mines, that might work automatically or those where the operation of the system is remotely controlled. Thank you.